ain't it good to be in God's house? And I'm like, man, where'd y'all come from? Oh, you know, I thought for sure it was going to rain out there. Nobody's going to show up today. But y'all just proved me stinking wrong today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We do it different equipment, baby. That's all I got to say. We come into church, putting God first. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't it great to be in God's house? Wow. Really? I mean, there's some of y'all would rather be outside in the rain digging a ditch. Wow. You know, there's always one or a dozen somewhere. You got to watch it. But what a great time to be in the presence of the Lord and just to sense His presence. And I appreciate all the things the Lord's brought me through, but the most important thing that ever happened to me was when I said yes to Jesus. And all that other stuff, it just really doesn't mean much in a lot of things. And I grew up in the country and hauled a lot of hay and cleaned out a lot of horse stalls. And I found the first rule of hole is when you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. That served me well in life. And in marriage, praise God, I just quit digging. Yeah, some of y'all laughing about that one. All right, praise God. We know where y'all are today. But God's just been so good. So appreciate Pastor Ken, Norma, allowing us the privilege to preach. So appreciate my prayer partner, best friend, Miss Nancy, being able to be with me today. And we've been doing this thing for over 20 years, and the Lord's just been so faithful to us and helped us. We've got two kids. They're both married and kicked them out of the house, and they're on their own. Praise God. They're doing well. We're just cheering them on. You know, you always think when your children get married and they move out, you think they're coming back all the time, you know, and that just, you know, that hasn't really proved to be the case. So we've learned how to invite ourselves to their house. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, you're always welcome when you take them to dinner or lunch or something. You paying, you know, so praise God. We're gonna stay involved one way or another. Hallelujah. But we just continue to pray for them, love them. They'll always be our kids. Amen. Always going to be your kids. But there's some things. The Lord's let us do some writing, and Brother Jim was very gracious and all that good stuff. But the Lord has let us do some writing and just to leave ministry behind, encourage people, and some of the book projects, but that's just back on the table. It's just a donation basis only. We're terrible salespeople. I would starve if I was a salesman. So unless I'm talking about Jesus, then we'll do okay. Praise God. But please, if there's something back there you like and you'd like to have it, don't have anything, then just take it. If you want to contribute and help us to be able to continue to offer that on donation basis, then you just sow into that ministry. We appreciate it. But this morning, I want to get into the Word of God. Amen. I want to get into the book of 1 Samuel. Praise God. We're going to go in the Old Testament this morning. So you get there past Joshua and all those good books up there, man, Judges. You get to 2 Samuel, you better kind of back up, put it in reverse a little bit. And I am going to read a kind of a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning. I want to share from the English Standard Version. Hope you don't mind. You squeeze me. King James is going to come out. I grew up, memorized King James, love King James, but I just want to share from the English Standard Version, kind of a literal New King James almost version, if you will. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision," he said. "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' And then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears, of everyone who hears it will tingle. And on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end.
And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much today, God. Lord, we're thankful for the presence that we sense here today, God. Lord, I just pray that anointing represented by the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary would come in even greater measure. Lord, this morning, hallelujah, Lord, that the blood of Jesus from the very rooftop to the foundation of this your house of prayer, God, would destroy every attack of the enemy, Lord. Remove every snare of the fowler, God. Push back the darkness in Jesus' name as far as east is from the west, God. Lord, I pray all those things that are not pleasing to you, Lord, would be removed from this your house of prayer, God. And Lord, I pray that that precious sweet anointing, the presence of your sweet Holy Spirit, God, would just come in even greater measure, Lord, than we've sensed already. And Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, that you would prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear the message you've given. Lord, I just pray it's your word and not man's, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory and all the praise, and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. You know, life doesn't always turn out like you plan, does it? Doesn't always turn out like you plan. No, the whirlwinds of life can be a little overwhelming. You know, there's always this pressure and accomplishment. Matter of fact, there was an American composer, Leonard Bernstein. He said, to achieve great things, two things are needed, a plan and not quite enough time, right? I mean, we got to have that pressure. You got to get things done, and you're working, working, working. You put so much work, effort, emotion, time, love, compassion, commitment into something for what? When it doesn't turn out how you wanted it to, how you thought it was going to. We feel shortchanged. We feel cheated a little bit, lied to, even used. And if we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes take that out on God. Like, God, wait a minute. I'm serving you. I'm giving it all to you. Why isn't this turning out the way I think it ought to turn out? How do you deal with the doubt? How do you deal with the disappointment? How do you deal with that discouragement? And as you can see, I've entitled my message this morning, "When Your Biscuits Don't Rise." When your biscuits don't rise. I don't know about you, I grew up with a family with 8 kids, and we ate professionally. We did not practice at that. You know, I didn't get this big because I was a picky eater, but I'm going to tell you what, they were quick to know some really good food and compliment the cook, and they were quick to point out the food did not measure up. And when the biscuits didn't rise, you knew something had happened. And when your biscuits don't rise in life, sometimes there's some disappointment in the results, obviously. You know, things aren't really the way I thought they ought to turn out. And a lot of times it's because there's an ingredient that's missing. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. There's an ingredient missing. Nobody gets too excited when our plans don't pan out, right? And a lot of times we want to blame other people. You think I'm lying? All you got to do is watch sports. When anybody misses, whenever somebody gets tackled, they drop the ball, whose fault is it? Well, it wasn't mine. I mean, you know, it was somebody, it's the bat. You know, something happened, y'all. You know, the umpire didn't see that one. You know, that was surely a ball, you know. We're in the season right now. You know, we always have an excuse or we want to blame somebody else. But what happened in verse 4 says, "Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, 'Here am I.'" Who was not called? The man of God was not called. Eli was not called. Neither was Hophni or Phinehas. Neither were his sons. They were not called. His family was shut out. And so God goes to the surrogate son, or the stepchild, if you want to put a little more color to it. How disappointed Eli must have been
that God had a different plan than the plan that he wanted for himself and his kids. You know, a lot of times we have these things, we think, oh, I ought to go a certain way, and God's got another plan. And the reality is, you and I, we took a detour somewhere. And we started going on the plan that we thought that God wanted, but it ended up really being the plan the world has influenced us to expect and demand. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all the self-help stuff that's going on today. We got plenty of self-help gurus, and you know, they're going to give us a lavish list of ingredients for a successful life, right? Peace of mind, health and energy, loving relationships, financial freedom, worthy goals and ideas, self-knowledge, self-awareness, personal fulfillment. Wow! Who wouldn't want all that? But the list turns out to be a bondage you can't get out from under. You know, it was interesting. I was reading a little report this morning, or little excerpt post from a good friend of mine. And he was talking about, you know, we got a lot of leadership schools today, a lot of leadership seminars, everybody teaching you how to be a leader and demand the best and the highest and the, we'll see you at the top, right? Well, I want to go to the top. That's not where Jesus started, was it? You don't see a whole lot of seminars about servanthood and, hey, let's go to the bottom together. let's go serve everybody together. Praise the Lord. I love to have an outreach, muffins with moms. Man, you know, anybody loves food like I do, I'm thinking muffins are going to be good. And you get some with some pecans in there, man, that's going to be even better. And I'm going to go see mom. It's muffins with moms. Praise God. You all should invite the whole community. Praise God. This is outreach event coming on. Mother's Day. Praise God. But Jesus says this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, I love what the Message translation said. It said, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Man, a bunch of us could sign up for that. It said, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And I applaud you for cheering on Pastor and his wife. Get away. Get restored. You know, it was interesting. General Patton and Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. We all need some rest at time. And how do we do that spiritually? You know, it's like we need a helper. We don't need a new drug. That's not going to help us. We need a helper. And Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I'll send him the Comforter. You know, there's a new worship chorus. It's called Make Room. He says, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. I'd play it, but I don't want to quench the spirit. Praise God. But can I ask you that question this morning? Are you at the place where you say, God, it's your house. It's not mine. God, you get full reign. Whatever you want to have happen, that's what I want. Because how many of you know God's got a plan for your life? And it's better than your plan. He loves you more than you love yourself. He's got a plan for you, and he longs to see you prosper and do well and be a blessing. Why? So that you and I, in turn, can give him all the glory and bless him. He longs for you and I to be conduits of his grace, of his mercy, of his love for others. Praise God. But oftentimes, that's the missing ingredient, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There's an ingredient missing sometimes when our biscuits don't rise. How many of you could say that every single day, 24 hours a day, you're walking the perfect life, living like Jesus as a believer of Christ? And I'm so glad that this place is not full of liars. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We all do. We all have those days when, boy, the ingredients not there. We're not really walking like we should. So sometimes there's disappointment in the results because an ingredient's missing, but sometimes it's because a condition has not been met. In our passage of Scripture, verse 13 says, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever
for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. You know that God knows your heart. You know that God knows every place you've been. He's with you. Even when you're doing stuff on the internet you shouldn't be doing, looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at, saying things you shouldn't say. Even those things that you harbor in your heart, you haven't said them, you haven't done them, but they're in your heart. He knows our heart, doesn't he? He knows right where we are. And here, God's given Samuel this earth-shattering declaration that Eli's sons, they've been blaspheming God, right? And God just turns up the heat on one of his own ministers. You know what? None of us are above reproach. None of us are above correction. Not one of us. But man, does that hurt. Man, that hurts. You know, I got to thinking about cooking. You know, I talk a lot about food. I love food, but, you know, maybe too much sometimes. But cooking has some conditions, you know. You know, I've noticed that heat is oftentimes a primary condition to cooking. Right? I mean, have you ever cooked anything and you've gone and put it in the oven, you forgot to turn the oven on? It's okay, ladies. Even some men have done that. Praise God. Right. You don't get much done, do you? I mean, you move from the refrigerator to the incubator. I mean, that's it. You know, it's not heated. It's not cooking. It's not going to have a good outcome. There's no aroma. Right? I mean, when the heat gets turned up, boy, doesn't the aroma permeate the house? Man, doesn't that start smelling good? I remember as a kid, my mom be baking homemade bread or biscuits, and she'd have enough. You didn't have to tell us that she was cooking homemade bread or biscuits. Man, we could be upstairs. You know, there was eight of us kids. It was a two-story house. You didn't have to tell us what she was cooking. We knew. We knew. Because when the heat gets turned up, man, that aroma, it just filled the house. Praise God. But God tells Isaiah in 48 verse 10, he says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." I don't know about you, but I don't like affliction. I don't really like the heat, but oftentimes that's what God uses. He turns up the heat, doesn't he? And most of the time he doesn't ask permission. he just does it. All of a sudden somehow you're like, "Wow, that's hot. It's getting warm. I don't like that." So, you know, cooking has some conditions. It needs some heat, and God uses heat, but cooking also takes time. Cooking anything takes time. I don't care whether you use a microwave or an oven, open campfire, it takes time. You know, it was funny, this last week, Nancy's sisters come down to Texas, first time they'd ever been to Texas. We had to treat them right, every which way but loose, praise God. And we said, "Well, we're going to grill Friday night. Boy, this is going to be good." In my whole life, I have never cooked on a gas grill. I've always cooked on a charcoal grill. I'm old school. That's all, you know, just old school. I got to get the briquettes. I got to get the lighter fluid. I need to have some taste of lighter fluid in my food. I don't know. It's something about it. The smoke, the charcoal, all that stuff. Burn it. I don't care. You know, as long as it's cooked on charcoal, it'd be good. Well, that one fell apart. It all rusted out. I had to get and somebody gave me a used gas grill. I said, "Man, that's great. I sure appreciate that." "What are you going to do? Tell somebody, 'No, I don't want your free gas grill.'" You're not going to do that. So I'm like, "Well, I guess I'll have to learn how to cook with gas, you know." And boy, here comes a big day. You know, I haven't really cooked a lot on it, you know, but the sisters are here. I'm trying to impress them, you know. Man, we got the layout. Man, we got bratwurst. We got chicken. We got burgers. Man, it's going to be good. Turn that heat on. And that thing wouldn't even barely get up to 200 degrees. I'm just, you know, I mean, all you men who are grilling, y'all know, man, I got to get that thing up to 300 or 400. Come on, man, I need some heat, baby. This thing was like on low. I'm like, "What is going on here? I got gas." You know, I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, "We're not having any of this. I appreciate grilling, but we're going to eat tonight, praise God. Give me that pan. We're going into the kitchen. Let me turn up some flame, praise God, on the stove because we need some heat. And we need time. And guess what? We ran out of time. Like, I'm hungry. It's time to eat. We're going to cook this thing. We need some more heat. Praise God." God sometimes takes his time, doesn't he? Sometimes he takes his time. You know, I looked up Webster's definition of cooking. He says, "To cook is the practice or skill of preparing food by combining, mixing, and heating ingredients." I always love it when the kids come home. We got special occasion, you know, and Boy, Nancy's in the kitchen, man. She's probably putting a pot roast on or putting something in the crock pot. And, man, that just gets the smelling so good. Why? Because there's heat and there's time. Man, it got hot. You know, a sandwich is, that's all well and good. You know, that's satisfactory. But a pot roast? Brother, we are in prime time right now, praise God. And I grew up in the South, you know, so we got to have mashed potatoes and gravy, praise God, with anything we have almost, it seemed like. But, you know, I didn't get this big because, you know, I love salad so much. I'm just telling you, I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. I never made a potato I didn't like, praise God. But sometimes God uses that heat, doesn't he? It seemed like time and heat are God's favorite tools of discipleship for most of us. Matter of fact, Job said this in Job 23, verse 10. He goes, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. He didn't test him just because he needed to test. It said when he gets through with the test, he's going to come forth as gold, praise God. That's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. And sometimes we just got to walk on through the fire. And the wonderful thing with God, you don't have to walk through by yourself. You're walking through with a comforter, with a helper, with somebody who comes alongside you, praise God. He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He wants you to get from the test to the testimony, praise God. That's the God we serve, hallelujah. And you know, the heat and time, they usually bring out the worst in all of us. To my shame. I was telling Nancy this last week, I was tired, I was coming home, and I got behind a person at the light, turned green. They're just sitting there enjoying the traffic flow and, I guess, reading their Facebook on their iPhone, whatever they're doing, I don't know, but I just tap my horn, you know. I'm like, hey, I've done that, you know. Just try to, hey, it's turned green, we'd like to go now, I'm tired, been a long day, I'm going to get on home. And well, they took off, you know, I just waved, you know, let them know, no hard feelings, just, you know, just kind of get your attention. And well, then they had to make a big point, you know, well, they're only going to do 20 miles an hour. We just going to show you, yeah, in your little Chevy Cruze, you're going to help show me how it's done, you know, and I'm just like, you know, Lord, man, it's been a day, you know, it's been a day and a half. And, you know, there was a left turn lane that was there, and I was like, well, if he wants to go 20, I'll just bless him, you know. And I just got in the left turn lane, I passed him, and he flipped me off when I was going past. And I was like, well, yeah, Lord, that probably wasn't the thing to do, was it? Yeah. Matter of fact, that was probably illegal, wasn't it, Lord? Yeah, it sure was. Well, you shouldn't have done that, boy, said, y'all. And, you know, a lot of times the Lord lets us do stupid things like that to reveal to us that we're not where we need to be. They kind of reveal, give us a little glimpse of how far we've fallen. And it kind of magnifies the greatness of the one we've fallen from. And you know, really, when those kind of situations happen, they produce a humility in me that I wouldn't trade for anything. Because when you get to the place of humility, the Lord says humility comes before honor. And he longs for us to have the servant attitude. You know, it was funny, we were coming to church this morning. I'm on the toll road. I'm going, man, I like to go. When it's time to go, I want to get it going, baby. Come on, you know. The speed limit, I always thought that was a recommendation. You know, I mean, just come on. It's just, we need to go. And there was a person in front of me, wasn't even going the speed limit. I was like, oh. Not again. But I remembered the other day, and I said, well, Lord, after Nancy talked to me, I said, Lord, if you want us to go this fast, that's how fast we're going to go. It's all right. Praise God. You know, and, you know, he's still working on me. You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived, and I'm not going to arrive till I see him face to face. Amen. Amen. And we got to walk this thing called life, praise God. And he longs to help us. He wants to strengthen us. But sometimes he takes us through the fire and he takes us through the time tests that we need to have, praise God. And we realize we have a need for something greater than ourselves. Paul even understood this in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. He said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Who? Who's going to do it? There's only one. We overcome through the power and the presence of what Jesus did on the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, praise God, even in the midst of disappointment in the results. Because we do. Life happens. Doesn't always happen the way we want it to. But one thing I want to leave with you this morning is that, yeah, there may be some disappointment in the results, but there's always hope with God. There's always hope with God. Why is that? Because it's never too late for the right spiritual ingredient with God. It's never too late. You say, "Well, Marshall, you don't know my situation." You know, I don't understand all that God does. But I do know it's never too late with God because God said it's never too late. I mean, we look at Lazarus. He was dead. Oh, it's too late. No, it's not too late with God. Let God do what he wants to do, praise God. No matter what you're going through, you call on his name. Now, how many of you know that doesn't work with cooking? If the ingredient's missing, it's too late. You're a day late and a dollar short. I'm sorry. It's either going to be good or it's not. It might be somewhere in between if you're really lucky. I wasn't lucky the first time I decided to make chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, "Man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to slap me some dough together. How hard can this be? I'm mixing it together. Man, we're going to make some chocolate chip cookies with pecan. Praise God. Hallelujah. That manna from heaven, this side of heaven. Hallelujah." But there was this little thing called baking soda and baking powder, and I got them mixed up. And those hockey pucks came out of the oven. I didn't know I was making ammunition, but apparently I was. They did not turn out good at all, praise God. And my brothers and sisters were quick to let me know that I had not followed the direction somehow, because those didn't turn out like Mom used to make, praise God. Praise God. But hasn't he given us the helper? God helps us. He helps us no matter what we're going through. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." God helps us, just like he helped Samuel. But guess what? It's your choice, my choice, whether we want to let him in. You know, there's too many people, you know, they all want to bow up. "Oh, I'm going to do it my way, man. We're going to take it." Yeah, you're going to do it your way, and it won't turn out good, but you can do it your way. Or we can come in humility and say, "God, I'm blowing this. I need some help." Because usually when we do it and it ends up wrong, then bitterness takes root, and then we want to hold on to that until the day we die. And man, the people that have hurt us, they've been dead and buried for years. God said, "Let it go. Let it go." He's given us a helper, praise God. You know, he made a plan for us, John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? Everlasting life. For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. No. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Through him. Praise God. He sent the helper. You know, in the New Testament alone, the Holy Spirit mentioned over 100 times. Jesus even said this in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He said, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Praise God. We need the power and the presence of Almighty God, of his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." But I don't know about you. I need that supernatural power. I need that supernatural strength when I get hurt, when I get wounded, when I'm bruised emotionally, when I feel rejected or let down or beat down, or somebody's taking advantage of me or stabbed me in the back again and again and again. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to come from somebody beside me. I don't have what it takes. I don't walk on water. And I never will until I see Jesus. And then I I won't care because I'll be in the presence of him. Amen. Praise God. I'm sure there's a lot of avid fishermen, anglers up here, fisherwomen, you know. Y'all know how to bait a hook. Y'all know how to reel it in. Y'all got your secret fishing spot. Secret fishing hole. Where do you like to go? Oh, man, I can't tell you. No, I'm not telling you. No, no, it's my little hidey hole. Praise God. I'm going there. I'm going to reel me in some. Praise God. Because I'm going to look good. I'm going to take care of the thing. But there's one that wants you to have even more than your greatest imagination, your wildest dreams. It was interesting in verse 19 in our passage, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words. Man, when God calls you, will you say, here am I? Will you say, God, I'm all yours, everything I have. You see, when we do that, he'll bring his plan to pass. Praise God. He'll bring his plan to pass because it's never too late with God. It's never too late. It's always hope with God. Never too late. And not only that, it'll always turn out right with God. It'll always turn out right. Now let me kind of back up a little bit and help define that a little bit when I say right. Because your idea of right, my idea of right, that may not be God's idea of right. Why are loved ones taken? Man, I sure don't know. I don't have the answer to that. You know, I learned a long time ago, I don't need to try to be the answer man because I don't know. But I know the Comforter is here to comfort me in whatever happens. And I know even as Brother Jim was sharing in Sunday school class this morning, the Comforter, that peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the Prince of Peace will help us take the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step and help us to have that fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. That will leave a mark in people's mind, their conscience. Man, how can you have so much joy right now? How can you have so much peace? How can you even go on? How do you even manage? Man, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, praise God. And it'll always turn out right if you let him. The Holy Spirit will lead you and I through to the right results, hallelujah. He'll take us from the heat to the feast, praise God. But we got to wait on him. We got to wait on him. And you know, when you get in a desert place, man, things get tough. Things get tough. Things start to die in the desert, don't they? But when the power of the Holy Spirit touches us, man, life happens. I love that story in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. It says this in Ezekiel 37, verse 5 and 6. This says, the Lord God to those bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and you will cause breath to enter you. You shall live. Oh, wait a minute. I will lay sinews upon you. I'm going to learn how to read today, praise God. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord, praise God. When you or I are in a hard place, a lot of times the enemy, he wants you to put on that pressure. He wants you to die. He wants you to give up. Lord, I want you to know you call out the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and he'll breathe life into you. He'll breathe life where once there was death. He'll bring freshness where there was old. When it was all dried up in dust, praise God. I'm telling you what, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And he's waiting for you and I to lay it all on the altar and say, God, it's you. I don't know about you, I got plenty of irons in the fire. Some days I have a hard time keeping the fire going, you know, praise God. And there's times I get discouraged and I get disappointed, but when I get back into my little hidey hole where I spend time with Jesus, hallelujah, and I turn on my worship music and I begin to read the Word of God and I break out the Psalms and I see where God has proved himself again and again and again, I'm refreshed. I'm renewed. I'm restored, hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, he can bring life out of death. We don't need to spend all our time complaining about stuff. We need to commit it to God, and he'll bring flowers in the desert. Hallelujah. You know, I was at a service not too long ago, and the preacher said, he said, you know, if your wilderness keeps you complaining, your complaining will keep you in the wilderness. We don't need to be there. We don't need to stay in the wilderness. It's time for you and I to prophesy to dead bones, dead spirits, and dead dreams, and tell God, here. Just like Samuel. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much this day. God, sometimes we don't understand all that happens in life. Sometimes it could be pretty disappointing. Doesn't go as planned. But the ingredient of your presence, your Holy Spirit, Lord, that'll bring us through. Lord, that time and heat, Lord, a lot of times you use that. Stoke up the fire in our furnace, along our path. Lord, you're just trying to help us reveal the things that aren't pleasing to you, Lord. You're trying to purify us and refine us. Lord, I'm thankful this morning, Lord, there's always hope with you. There is always hope for you because it's never too late for the right spiritual ingredient. Lord, it's our choice, I know, this morning. Lord, I pray, God, your saints, Lord, that have come this day, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would you reach down and touch them, let them know it's always going to be the right time, and it's always going to be the right results when you have lordship and leadership of our lives. Lord, would you help us this day to come to that place of abandonment just like Samuel did. Here I am.